Amy Bizzari, who has her latest book is 111 Places in Chicago That You Must Not Miss. Amy, hi.
Hi.
Amy is also a public school teacher, so I've made Barb Kennan stay so they can talk about things and see what Amy needs for her classroom and school.
Yes, this is great.
you've taught at CHUR, before we get into the book, you've taught at CHUR for quite some time.
Yes, 12 years. I'm going on my 13th year this year, and it's a great school. I can't wait to see my students. They're like my kids. I've seen kids. I'm lucky enough to see kids grow up from freshmen to seniors. And as challenging as it can be working with teenagers, it's really a gift seeing them grow up in front of my eyes.
You would also know because you're raising a teenager.
That's true.
As a single mom.
Yes.
Amy, do your students know that you're an author?
They do, and I think I'm going to create a little assignment related to my most recent book, 111 Places, which we're chatting about today. So few of my students get out and about in the city.
Yeah.
And yeah. I am going to give a little extra credit challenge this year and encourage my students to visit some of the places they haven't seen and take a selfie for a little extra credit.
Well, that's one of them. I do want to get into your book momentarily, but one of the most frightening things I ever heard was from a musician called Tom Castle, who sings and has devoted himself to singing about the Great Lakes and water, and he would make presentations in schools, most of the inner city schools, where he would ask early on, maybe 10 years ago, now, when's the last time many of you saw the lake or the river? And in some classes, 40% of the class had never seen the lake or the river. That is one of the most heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't blame their parents. There's fearfulness. Part of it is no money for bus fare, but it is so horrifying. So that's a great, great thing you're doing. Mm-hmm. How did this book come to be? I mean, this is part of a series about 111 places in various lesser towns.
Yes, I was contacted by the publisher directly, and they had asked me if I would be interested in profiling these places based on the work they had read from my last book, which was Chicago's Iconic Recipes. And I was so excited to take on this challenge of trying to find 111 places that even a local would be surprised by. So this book is geared more towards locals who are looking to find some hidden corners of the city, learn something new. It doesn't cover our most popular tourist attractions.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that appealed to me most about the book is when it crossed my desk, I thought, oh, God, here we go again with you must see the bean and you must go to Navy Pier and you must have a hot dog and you must, do the standard fare, which I think insults tourists, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So how did a number of them just pop into your mind immediately, places that are your favorite places?
A lot of them did. I'm always
You're
out
a local
and about
girl.
In the city. I live in Logan Square. I'm constantly exploring the city with my kids. And a lot of the places, yes, are near and dear to my heart, but not everybody knows about them. So,
give me an example.
Just looking here, thinking quickly, Colleen Moore's Fairy Castle. That's pretty common. Many people may have seen it, but it's this beautiful miniature castle hidden in the basement of the Museum of Science and Industry. A lot of people go to the big exhibits on the main floor and don't think to visit the beautiful little fairy castle built by Colleen Moore, one of the most famous silent movie stars of all times.
Yeah, and who lived here.
Yes.
Another one that I find fascinating because we're in the very building is number 100, and they're all done alphabetically, and there's a great picture by a photographer named Susie Inverso. And against a page of type, each one of these sections of type is exactly the same number of words, Amy, is that right?
It's correct. What was 1750.
1750 on
yes.
the dot. That must have been an interesting writing challenge, didn't you think? Because some frankly, may not deserve that many things, and
this
others
is true.
Deserve three times that much.
I can tell you're a writer because it might not sound like that big of a challenge to.
Oh, it's a horrible
fit
challenge.
In exactly 1,750 words, but it was very challenging and took a lot of time. Sometimes that took a little bit more time than writing the actual entry, but it does fit in beautifully, and the layout is beautiful. So,
how much you must have done had to do a considerable amount of research on some of these things too, and dealing with the publisher who is in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a German publisher who does this series. Dealing with them too, sort of aesthetically saying, well, I think this is really something you should see. And they're like, no, we think you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
They were very interested in the, as many people are, in the mob history.
That is correct. That was one of the big things that my publisher, Emmons Publishing, they're German. And a big thing was, aren't there more mob history sites that you
can't
we
have include? 111 mob places
yes,
in Chicago?
Yes, and I love my city. I'm trying to focus on the wonderful, beautiful things of Chicago and not so much our terrible mob history. But I did include a few mob-related places. Frank Nitti's hideout, which
See,
is
that's a
located.
But that's also relatively obscure. I think
mm-hmm.
there are Chicagoans who would say, wow, that's interesting.
That's true. You know, I had never been in Harry Carey's... you know, as someone who lives in Chicago, I'm not thinking to go to a Cubs. Harry Carey, you know, it's a big
tourist
attraction.
Well, it also is a single mom raising two
but
kids.
But I know, it's not on my
to-do list.
Most wanted list. But I had a wonderful time there. I had a wonderful lunch there. It's a great lunch spot. And the basement was once Frank Nitti, who was Capone's henchman. That was his hideout.
Yeah.
So that was just an amazing bit of history that I had no idea
it's
existed.
Wonderful for you, Amy, to have worked on a project that also instructs and informs and enlightens you. I get a real palpable sense that
exactly.
that mm-hmm. was so enjoyable for you.
Yes, I learned so much. I'm one of these people who gets lost in history, gets lost in reading up on obscure historical facts. I'm a complete history nerd, I admit it. So this was just a joy to write for me.
All right, we're going to take a short commercial break. The book came out when? Like this Friday or the next?
Last Friday.
Last Friday.
Yes.
The book
mm-hmm.
is out and fresh. It's 111 places in Chicago that you must not miss. It is certainly in every bookstore. It is certainly, because that's the time we live in, online. The author is Amy Bizzarri, Bizzarri. And it is, and you know me in Chicago history and Chicago stuff, it's a great book because it's surprising. It is not. It is so far from what I dreaded, which was the same old usual suspects. It's mm-hmm. much, much better, and your writing is terrific. We'll take a little commercial break and come back with Amy. Amy Bizzarri's third book, 111 Places in Chicago That You Must See, hit the stands, as they say, on Friday. It's available anywhere. She has to go back and start teaching school 2 weeks from yesterday. She teaches at Schurz High School. She's raising two kids on her own, and she has put together a really remarkable book. And my next guest is a dyed-in-the-wool Chicago and Mike Houlihan, and even he would be surprised by some of the places in this book. I'm looking at Mike now, asking him if he knows where the Busy Beaver Button Museum is.
No.
He does not. He does not. Now, how did you find? This is number 18 in your list. Barb Kennan knows where it is.
Yes.
How did you find this place? Was this one of your favorites, or you just...
Well, this one is actually in my neighborhood. So I had passed by one day, and I thought, Busy Beaver Button Company, that sounds really interesting. And I went on in and spoke with the sister and brother who run this factory. They make great buttons, all types of buttons, large and small, but they also have a great museum. And you can find a button for every TV show you've ever watched, and a lot of historic buttons, including a pre-button that was made in support of Lincoln's 1864 presidential campaign. Well, it goes that far back. Yeah.
You have a lot of, there's a lot of, because your last book was about sort of secret Chicago recipes. You have a number of kind of food places in here, including the Calumet Fisheries, which is one of the great places in this town. Mm-hmm. What's the Chicago Honey Co-op?
The Chicago Honey Co-op is a great organization that is raising honeybees all across the city. So if you see a swarm of honeybees swarming around your home, you're not dreaming.
Leave them alone, dude.
Yes. They're saving our planet. And since 2004, the Chicago Honey Co-op has raised more than 50 beehives full of bees at their three urban apiaries across the city. It's a great organization that sells raw honey as well and teaches beekeeping to hard-to-employ Chicagoans and also advocates for sustainable agriculture within the city.
See, that's why in this book that any of you who may expect, a quick 2-second sentence about this place and this place. This is not a superficial look at the city. You have one of my favorite places on the planet, even though I only visit it once a year, Fantasy Costumes.
Okay, yes. Fantasy Costumes is great.
It may be the biggest, it's arguably the largest costume store in the world.
The largest costume store.
You may not be allowed to do that
in the world if you're looking for fishnet stockings and you weigh 350 pounds. If you need a colonial era wig, you want to look like George Washington, this is the place to go. It used to be a wig store, and owner George Garcia took over neighboring storefronts, and he owns that whole stretch of Milwaukee Avenue. Yeah. 18,000 square feet of every costume
and he claims
you can
imagine. I've written about it a number of times because I love George. You know, that 50,000 masks.
Yes.
50,000 masks.
Yes.
Among them, which leads into my next guest, a number of unbelievable, frightening Rahm Emanuel masks. A number of frightening Rahm Emanuel masks. You also have the Vienna Beef Hot Dog Factory Cafeteria.
Yes. That is arguably the best place in the city to grab a hot dog because they are factory fresh. And you can dine right alongside the employees that made your hot dog.
And the public obviously can get in there.
Yes.
You've got the Tiffany Dome, which Barb Kennan saw all the time when she worked at the Cultural Center, the Tribune Tower facade, which I see every day.
Yes.
And which people ogle like crazy.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, the facade here is something that even Chicagoans, I've seen people go, "Hey, man, I've lived here my whole life. I know, when did these rocks get in
here?" Yes.
You also have the bathroom at the Signature Lounge on top of the Hancock Building. Mm-hmm. Why that one?
You know, my publisher, my editor had asked, are there any unique bathrooms in Chicago?
Typical publisher.
Yes,
question, yeah.
Typical question. And I thought long and hard about that. Can you think of any interesting bathrooms around the city? The first one that came to my mind was the lounge at the Signature Room, just because it has such a wonderful view. You can put on your lipstick, and if no one else is in the bathroom, you can enjoy that view all by yourself. I think it's the most unique bathroom in the city of Chicago.
Was there any one thing, Amy Bizzari, of the 111 places in Chicago that you must not miss, that really surprised you, that that bowled you over somehow? Maybe not, because you know Chicago so well.
I would say the Confederate mound at Oakwood Cemetery. And I think few Chicagoans know that it's the largest mass grave in the Western Hemisphere, and over 6,000 men are buried beneath the granite column.
These are the men who died at Fort Douglas, at Camp Douglas on the near south side.
Yes.
What Are you doing any book signing? Do you have any? You're starting to teach in a week and a half, and you've got two kids you're raising by yourself.
That's correct. My promotional work has only about one more week left before I start up my other job, which is my most important job, which is being a teacher.
What do you teach?
I teach languages. I teach Italian. Schurz is one of the few schools in the city to still offer Italian. And I am Italian-American, so I'm very proud to teach Italian. And I'll also be teaching ESL, English as a second language, which is a great opportunity for me. I get to work with the newest immigrants to our city, and it's really a gift.
Well, you've been doing teaching for a long time, and your heart is in it. Do you have a next book in you? Are you thinking about... I know you do a lot of stuff online. Are you thinking about a next book?
Oh, I am dreaming up my next book. I'm not sure what yet, but I would like to do something related to Route 66, which will be celebrating its birthday, big birthday, in a few years.
That's a great idea. Amy, it's a pleasure to know you. You people out there, because I'm not John Williams, I'm Rick Kogan, and I do most of my work for the Chicago Tribune. There will be a story about Amy in the Chicago Tribune. We did an interview, I don't know, about a week ago, and I was so taken with the book and taken with her and her remarkable life story. You're going to have to buy the paper, ladies and gentlemen. It's a thing called a newspaper. That's a place in Chicago that you must not miss either. Amy, it's really an ongoing pleasure to know you, and the book is, the more time I spend with it, the more I like it.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, say
thank
hi
you.
Say hi to your kids.
I will.
I haven't met them, but say hi to your kids.
I will.
Can't be easy having a teenage boy. That's all I know.
No,
not at all. That's all I know. We got to take a little break and then get some news, and then come back with the one and only Mike Houlihan, not only to talk about his book, Nothing's on the Square, some of his upcoming book events, his radio show, and the thing he created, the Irish American Film Festival, which comes up later in September.